Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
A senior citizen buying a parking spot that had just been vacated at a mall was slowly backing up his aging Cadillac Eldorado to get room to maneuver into the spot when a teenager in a small BMW sports car came from the other direction and zipped into the spot. Jumping over the side of his little car, the youth called out, "That's 'cause I'm young and fast." The old man said nothing, but revved up his engine and plowed straight ahead, right into the side of the sports car and folded it up like an accordion. Then turning to the horror-stricken youth, he said calmly, "That's 'cause I'm old and rich." The gap between the young and the old is growing greater every year. Recently, I began a study of what the Bible says about the elderly. First, I noticed that many directives are found in the Old Testament, most of them written by Moses, ensuring not only that the elderly among us will be given respect, but that their needs will be provided for as well. About all that Paul adds is that widows are properly taken care of by the family of God. I've also noticed that the farther we as a society move from God's norm and plan, the more we shuttle our elderly to warehouses for the aged, as Margaret Mead described them, checking on their health only to determine how long it will be until the will is executed and we can get our hands on the money. "Grandma," asked a little boy, "where do you keep your bucket?" Somewhat puzzled, the elderly lady said, "Well, what do you mean, my bucket?" "Well," replied the little boy of about 5, "Daddy says that when you kick your bucket, we're going to get a lot of money." What do the elderly have which younger generations need beside the money? Plenty. Try these for a living inheritance. Gift number 1, give the benefit of your experience. Know your children and grandchildren don't always want advice on how to handle things. They, like you did a generation before, want to live their own lives and make their own mistakes. But your experience can be a valuable asset. Shared judiciously and kindly, it can be a tremendous help. Nobody can live long enough to make all the mistakes, so we can learn much from the experience of our elders. Gift number 2, share your wisdom. "Old so soon, smart so late," we sometimes quip. Yet the reluctance to sue or tell off your boss or file for divorce, which an older generation has, is often not a weakness but a reflection of their greater wisdom, something we can acquire only with time. Frankly, wisdom is something that is transmitted by being there, by caring, by listening, not a recitation of, "Well, here's what I would do if I were you" counsel. Gift number 3. You can provide connectivity. What's that? If you are the senior generation, whether you're 60 or 90, you're a bridge to the past, and there's a tremendous strength in being connected to the family tree. It's the difference between a sapling blowing in the wind and a branch being attached to an oak or banyan tree. Talk about your youth, your family, your memories as a child. These memories form a valuable tapestry. Gift number 4, perspective. One of the reasons that young people take their lives, commented a funeral director, is that they lack perspective. They don't understand you can work through your problems. Gift number 5, godliness. This, of course, you can't pass on unless you have it yourself. Remember, godliness is great gain.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.